session number 11314, Reel 1.
For Reel 1, can you tell me whereabouts you were born, first of all, please?
Born in Cholton.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a steel erector.
Did you go to school in Cholton?
Yes.
And how old were you when you left?
14.
What job did you do then?
Be honest, milkman.
So how did you come to join the Navy?
Called up. H.O.
When were you called up?
The 20th of December 1939.
How did you feel about being called up?
Very, very pleased.
Why?
I've been a milkman from the time I was 14 till I was 20, and I thought I was going to be left on in being a milkman all my life, and I wanted to see the world.
So you wanted some excitement?
I did want excitement.
Did you want to go in the Navy, or...?
Definitely the Navy. When I got me calling up papers, we had to go to this labour exchange, and they were serving out the Army. And I said, I want to go in the Navy. No way. Army only today. I said, no. I said, my father... And his seven brothers, and his father was in the Navy. We're a Navy family, which I stuck to. And he said, well, we're not doing the Army only here today, but I'll put your name down. If you get away with it, you get away with it. And I did. And when I got me calling up for medical... I didn't say nothing about... bit of my thumb missing.
You lost a thumb before?
Four, yes, yeah, I didn't, I was same. And when I passed A1, they said, right, if you join the Navy, you'll get called up before Christmas, but if you join the Marines, you'll be after Christmas. I said, no, Navy's for me. And I think I only waited a month when I got the call to go to Royal Arthur, Skegness.
What was it like there?
Well, as an experience, I never see. It was the coldest winter I can ever recall. We had went to Butlins. There were three in a chalet. And every morning, your blankets were stiff. The top blankets were stiff. We had no uniforms. Only the clothes we stood up in. We did no training. In the mornings, we had to run round the blocks. I think we were singing to keep warm that famous song, Roll Out the Barrel. When we finished, we were all given a shovel and we had to clear the snow away. In the afternoons, instead of going out, it was that bad, it wasn't, we had to go in into classes, and we had seamanship there, and not in just ESA, not practice. And when I went on leave, I think the 12th of January, I went down with pneumonia. I'd got pneumonia, didn't know I had it. And I think I had to stay in bed for 3 weeks. Before, as I told you about, I had a letter to say, if you don't come back, you're going to lose the class. And I got up out of the sick bed and went straight back.
That meant you'd be separated from your shipmates?
Shipmates, yes. And we went to Portsmouth. Not all of us, but they split. What they done, they split you up, Devonport, Portsmouth and Chatham, and you had to pick out the hat. And as I say, I got Portsmouth, and they thought we knew all about training, all about gunnery. We didn't know, and I can always laugh now about it, because as you know, I'd been away in bed for 3 weeks at least at home, Anyway, what we done was, I do have heard of the Ark Royal. She was supposed to have been recorded sunk by the Jerrys, but they sent them home on leave, and we had to ammunition ship, food store ship for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I got a draft.
So you were doing this to the Ark Royal?
Pardon?
You were doing this to the Ark Royal?
Yeah, we was only working party for the Ark Royal, because all the crew had gone home because they'd had a down experience, and the classes was detailed from the barracks to go and store ship, ammunition ship, and then, as I say, I got a draft to go to the Auckland, but I thought it was a destroyer. I wanted a destroyer.
Why?
Because it was more exciting. A destroyer is a fast moving boat. But when we got to Dundee, it was a destroyer tied up, and when we went aboard it, I thought it was a destroyer, but we had to step over the destroyer onto the smaller ship, the Auckland.
What kind of a ship was it?
It was a sloop, a Akak sloop. It had 4 sets of twin guns.
And when did you join her?
I joined her, I can't remember the exact date now, but it was in March, I think it was.
1940.
And I can always remember waiting for breakfast, but you never got breakfast aboard them ships. They called it a self-catering. You have to pay, all you do is get the food from... You get meat from the deck dusty. They issue the meat, and then you have to buy your stuff from the canteen. So, only in the Navy, you only in the small ships, you had 1 meal a day, and that was at night time. Used to go and Big Dinner. I'm talking about the Big Dinner come at night. I think you used to have a little snack. Whatever a caterer used to give you something dinner times. But most of the time you went and bought it yourself from the canteen, like a bit of cake or ice cream, something like that.
And what was the armament of the Auckland?
The armament was twin four inch guns. One Lewis gun, that's all we had when we started. One Lewis gun, no such as the years went on, you got Orlikans and pom-poms and that. But the Orlikan, all she had was 4-inch guns, four twin-inch guns. And I was allocated B-gun.
But if she was an Akak ship,
yeah,
what guns did she have against aeroplanes?
That was it, 4-inch guns. And that was... I don't know if you understand the guns, but you see a gun, it's always forward, isn't it?
Yes.
With an Akak, it's up like that, and it follows the plane round.
Yes.
Well, you try and put a projectile in the gun, a shell. And most of the times, the gunnery party are trying to give you the rounds up through the little slot they give you. The gun's right over it. You couldn't hardly get it. So what we used to do, we used to go to action stations, and before the plane attacked, we used to get some spare ammunition and put them around the Carly floats. There used to be one on there each gun deck, and I used to get about 6 or 7, so that if that place was blocked, we took one from there. But I was blown on me back time and time again getting them, just to keep the gun going. That was, as I say, that happened practically every time there was an air raid. because they was attacking us, not other people. That's in Norway, but as I say, when they attacked the ships, merchant ships, because it wasn't too bad.
What was your job aboard the Auckland?
The Auckland was a loader.
This was your action station?
Yeah, it? Action stations. I was an ammunition loader, put the shell into the gun.
But what was your job apart from the action station?
Part of ship. Part of ship. And that would be... you see, Navy, the Navy... when you go to sea, you're in two watches, port and starboard. You've got four on, four off. Dog watches, that's 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock to 8, it's 2 hours watch. But you was, when you wasn't at action station, you was part of ship. I mean, every week... No, tell a lie. Every day there was you had to do a mess. Every other day, I think, I can't remember now, it's a long while ago. You was cooking a mess for a week, and that means to say that you have to get the food from the canteen. We used to go into the tanky, you call the butcher, get a lump of meat, and you have to decide what kind of meat it is. Is it a straight bake? That means a roast. A oosh, that is a stew. And that sort of thing. We used to love a straight bake because that was easy. Just cut the spuds up and put it round and take it in the galley. And then, as I say, you have to clean the mess out. That was your job that week. We had got a week about. Everybody had a turn. There was only one person excused, and that was the killick. That was the man in charge of your mess. And you do rounds. That was very, very strict, that was.
What did that involve?
Cleaning everything up. If you've got a... Say you left your hat over there on your thing, that had to go. It'd be in a scram bag. The only way you could receive it is by giving them a piece of soap. So you wouldn't, you had to go and buy soap and get it back. They was very strict.
What was the scram bag?
We called it rubbish bag. But it's clothes that's been left lying about. So if you lost anything, you'd go around and say, have a look and see if it's in the scram bag. They used to be a partnership. And they used to, as I say, anything you were entitled to do, you had to do it, even though it was your best friend. You'd say, so when you're cleaning up for rounds, everything goes out in the mess that shouldn't be there.
Why couldn't you just pay some money to get it back?
Well, money was hard. Money was hard to get.
But you had to pay the money to buy the soap.
Well, pasta soap. I should say it's a bar like that. I think a couple of coppers, and I think you should give a bit like that. There's only just
trim a bit off.
Yeah, that's to try and show you you've got to be clean and pass them aboard the ship.
Now, after you joined the Auckland, did the Auckland then take part in the Norway campaign?
Yes. First of all, we done convoying from Greenock to Thames Estuary. Used to take a big convoy.
East Coast convoy?
East Coast convoys. We'd done it for about 5 or 6 weeks, maybe less than that.
Was there much action on those?
There was one. That was my first action. I don't know if I should tell you.
Yes.
But, you see, the regular Navy, they hated the HOs on board our ship. We was lowest of the low. We was dragged in to fight. They was the people that joined up to fight. And when it come to the action stations, I can always remember it now. I told you, I was the last one. There was 16 on the gun's crew. And I was the last one of the last of the crew. So in other words, there was four men and each gun, it's a twin gun, and I was the last one. And when the action starts, number one goes in first, and then two, don't you follow up, so that it's always rounds going in. If I told you that I could see this plane coming low now, it was Dornier, it wasn't attacking us, it was a machine gun in the convoy, and when I looked, everybody was ducking, and I can safely say that I was the only one that, although I was frightened, the only one that got that round into the thing, and I said, then I'm as good as you. And I'll always remember that. I said, I've still got that in my mind now, that I was as good as them regulars. But we pay for it. That gunnery officer made us go at it night and day, because we only got one round away. After that, mind you, the Dornier was moving, but we could have, it was that low, we should have hit it, you know what I mean, should have got it. And as I say, he dropped bombs and machine gun all the way along the convoy, but I don't think, I know that they never got hit, but whether it's super such or not, I don't know. That was my first glimpse of action.
So you mean the gunnery officer made them do duties on the gun because of their failure to hit the gun?
No, they made them do gun practice. Even at sea, you know, when I said you were part of a ship.
But was that because they'd failed to hit that Dornier?
No, they failed, that they wasn't ready. You see, the war hadn't actually started. That was their first action. But as I say, when we went to Norway... Well, I jumped the gun, am I? No.
Whereabouts was that on the...
That was the North Sea convoy. North Sea, yeah. But,
where the Dornier attacked?
Yeah, North Sea...
Whereabouts on the east coast was that about?
I should say near Newcastle. It's going on our way to go into Newcastle.
How many east coast convoys did you do? Do you think?
I should say we done about five or six.
Was this the spring of 1940?
Yes, as I say, I can't remember when. Norway started.
But it started in April.
We must have gone through for say a month, 3 weeks to a month on the North Sea convoys. And I can remember, I don't know if I should tell you, but I can remember going up onto the crow's nest, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you stay there for 4 hours as you're looking around. And it was foggy. And we lost the convoy. And then the bell rung. Mind you, remember now, I'm just a boy that's never been to sea, called the stack a chimney and all that sort of thing, called the ladder stairs. And I was up this masthead looking out, and the bell rang. And the voice said, "Can you see any ships?" And I said, "You can't see nothing with these glasses." Binoculars. So he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Oh, I said, these are useless." Well, I swore, actually. Ben, wasn't I? And about 10 minutes later, the ladder started shaking, because it's about 20 or 30 feet up. I said, "It's not 4 hours yet." Relieved, got to go down to the bridge immediately. And then when I got there, he said, "But you didn't have that cap on because the wind had blown off. Get your cap." So I had to get my cap. Went to the bridge. And then the captain, it was the captain I was talking to, well, I didn't know. "What's wrong with the glasses, sir? Don't you know how to report? Now, how long have you been in the Navy?" So I said, "I've only just joined. Joined about last week, sir." "Well, we've got rules and regulations here," he says. "What's wrong with the glasses?" "Guns? Them guns, glasses are useless. In future, you obey the rules and do it. What's fine? I thought everybody thought I was going to be a child. But I didn't. I got away with it. We got a new pair of glasses on the strength of it.
So was that... Did you only have one attack on the convoys on the East Coast?
We had two submarines attacks. We had a... we used to have a little minesweeper, foreigners. We had several attacks on U-boats, but one we confirmed, because we couldn't hang about waiting for it to come up or don't know. We the minesweeper, we like told the minesweeper to stop there while we carried on with the convoy, and the minesweeper confirmed that we got one. But we had several attacks, but we couldn't say that we got them. We dropped the depth charges, but nothing appeared or anything like that.
Were many of the ships, many of the merchant ships on the East Coast convoys hit whilst you were with them?
No. And they might have been machine gunned. I don't call a hit. They call a hit a bomb, don't they? But they're machine gunned. Whether they done any damage? Well, there wasn't super damage.
Can you tell me now about going to the Norway campaign?
Yeah.
Were you a member of that?
Yes. We got back to... Okay, where did I say I come from?
From Dundee?
No, it would be the one...
Greenock.
And... there's a lot of buzz. Oh, first of all, a load of Matlows coming off a ship. I think they come off the Nelson onto our ship. I think we took about 500. There was three or four ships like us going, and we took 500 men off the Nelson to take them to Norway. They was going to be called Naval Army, like Naval... Whatever you call them.
Landing party.
And that's another thing I'll always remember. Now, you just remember, now, it's a small ship. I was seasick at times. And the weather's always rough. It's in the heart of winter. And we had 12 men coming down this. And they said... each individual's got to go after one chap. Well, we had hammocks slung up, and the chap had to sleep underneath my hammock, and I had to look after him so that he got... What we used to do is, one day we'd have corned beef, or one meal we'd have corned beef, and let them have the hot meal, and then the next day they'd have it. But this chap here, we was going out there, it was real rough. We had to pull in at one time because it was the rough in one of the islands, Fair Isles or something like that. And he was ill, seasick. I had a civilian overcoat because the Navy didn't produce overcoats. I put it over him. I kept taking cups of bother all night trying to get him fit. And I think it took about 3 days to get there, or it seemed 3 days anyway, I can't recall now. And then we run into smooth water down the fields. There was no sign of any action because Jerry hadn't got that far. It was a touch and go for who got there first. I think we got to Andrew's Nest first before the Jerry did. And that's because the field's about 7 miles long, you know, you go down these fields. But the point was, I'm trying to make now, it's upset me. Now, I nursed that chap, never had a word out of him, and when he left to go ashore, he took my blooming overcoat. I mean, we had to pay for our own clothes in the Navy, and I said, well, that's fine. But then, of course, it started.
So he did go ashore on the landing party.
Pardon?
He did go ashore on the landing.
Oh, yeah. We didn't know. They did. The Nelson crew, they went ashore. And they had a rough time.
That was at Andalsnest?
Andalsnest, yes. Arnold's Nest. We was based at Arnold's Nest, although we had a plane come over. It was one of these spotting planes. We couldn't hit it for toffee. We were only just starting out the war. You didn't know nothing about it. I mean, we was putting a speed at 250 miles an hour, and he's probably only doing 90. You see, that sort of thing was going on. But as I say, we got christened in the end. After we'd been to Alder's Nest, there was quite a few French ships there, all ski troops, big troopers like landing there. And then we'd been there 24 hours, and we got a call, got to go to Alder's Nest. I forget the name of the place we went to now. It's going, but it'll come back to me. And when we got there,
Narvik.
No, we went to Narvik another time. There's another place. Can you switch off on? I think. Yeah, to Namsos. And when we got there, we had to clear all the food stuff that the trooper had left for the army on the quay side, and Jerry was bombing it. So the third of the crew had to take to the boats, which I was one, and we had to clear all the food stuff from the jetty inland to the end of the town so that Jerry wouldn't see it and keep bombing it. But I did notice that there was, I won't say hundreds, but the bombs had gone down, but the mud must have been ever so deep, because the fins were sticking out of the mud. And we said to ourselves, well, they could go off any minute. Anyway, they didn't. And then we went back to Alder's Nest.
Did you see any troops at Namsos?
Not Jerry's.
British troops.
Troops, yeah. As I say, the Navy there,
Which regiments had they come from?
Well, wait a minute. We're jumping the gun. I'll tell you how we threw the troops there. Now, from there, we went through that, the one you just said, where they had the big battle.
Narvik.
Well, we went there to assist aircraft. But we didn't stop. We come back again, and because the army was in trouble, and the only link they had when we got to Alder's Nest was our ship, the army, and Whitehall, and we had to stay there while they give the message through. The Jerrys, they started off 1 and 2 bombing, but then it started 24s, 16s, and it started, I don't know if you know Norway, but it gets dark at 10 o'clock at night, but it's light again at 2, and they made use of it. So we used to be at the time all the time. And our skipper, I will say this, he was a famous skipper. He saved us time and time and time again. In the end, we knew we couldn't get it. It was that good, the skipper. How he done it, I don't know.